Welcome to Voice of the Public. Good afternoon. I'm Anthony Bruno. Today we are talking about outdoor recreation in New Mexico and the new equity fund that is designed to get more young people outdoors in our state. Our guests for this program are Democratic State Representative Angelico Rubio. Rubio is serving on the House Energy, Environment, and Natural Resources Committee and also the House Consumer and Public Affairs Committee. Representative Rubio was among the state lawmakers that worked for the creation of the Outdoor Recreation Department in our state, and her efforts also led to the creation of the Outdoor Equity Fund. We also have in studio Patrick Nolan, Executive Director of Friends of the Oregon Mountains Desert Peaks. The organization works to advocate, conserve, and restore the Oregon Mountains Desert Peaks National Monument through connecting the community to the monument and other public lands in our area. Also in studio is Angel Pena, Board President of Nuestra Tierra Conservation Project. The organization is a nonprofit organization that aims to ensure that border communities have access to the outdoors using education, advocacy, and empowerment through different events. I want to thank you all for joining us.
Thank you.
Anthony, carnal, thanks. Good to be here.
Awesome, thank you.
Pleasure to have you for such an important conversation. I want to start with you, State Representative Angelico Rubio, because you are about to take off on a ride to Santa Fe for the legislative session in just a couple of days. Is that correct?
I believe in about 36 hours.
Who's counting?
Who's counting?
I've been waking up early. And nerves, yeah.
Well, things have changed since the last time you took this trip. For the first time, you did it last year, and that was really to spread awareness about the creation of the Outdoor Recreation Department and the Equity Fund. Since then, what are some of the things that you've seen happen in regards to outdoor recreation, with the creation of the department and the fund?
First and foremost, thanks for taking the time to bring this issue to the forefront here in Las Cruces. I think I'm going to be completely honest in that, in my opinion, and I'm super biased, that it is Southern New Mexico who really pushed the effort of outdoor recreation last year during the session. And so I'm excited that we're working to help lead in those efforts. What's really changed, I think, over the course of the last year, now that I'm going back to the legislative session, is that there's still a lot of work to do. I think that it's one thing to pass legislation, but it's another thing to make sure that it's implemented and it's done correctly and as grounded and as rooted in our communities as possible. And I think that's the work that I've been working with my colleagues here, like with Angel and with Patrick, to make sure that that the vision that we had for outdoor equity, addressing issues around equity and inclusion, that it's done in a way that is not replicating sort of our history here in New Mexico, where we sort of romanticize our culture, but instead actually are rooted in who we are and who we can become.
Okay, now I want to discuss the Equity Fund a little bit. Can you really share with our audience what the Equity Fund is really about? And can you also share with us how much is in the fund for the mission?
Yeah, absolutely. And just to provide a little bit of historical context, the work to get the Outdoor Equity Fund took a lot of work to bring it forward. There's still people in our legislature who don't even know what the word equity means. Mm. And so it's really about a narrative change that we've been working on over the course of the year. And so when the governor was in the height of the race last summer, there was a talk a lot about creating a division of outdoor rec in an order to expand economic development and tourism. And many of us who are at this table and outside of this building, we started thinking about what could equity and inclusion and diversity look like for New Mexico, and how could we lead the way? And that's where the Outdoor Equity Fund came to be. And it was basically to provide established organizations across the state who are already doing such great work to take young people outside, particularly low-resourced kids with low resources, kids of color, so that they have access to the outdoor, but that they actually get to not learn a curriculum around science and things like that, but actually to get their hands dirty. And so really the Equity Fund is to help these organizations pay for things like equipment that most grants and foundations don't necessarily pay for. The Equity Fund would do just that.
Now, I know when the Senate bill passed, it was to provide, I believe, $1.5 million for the Economic Development Department to create this new division. Now, in regards to the equity fund, how do you feel about funding? Do you think it's enough?
No. And I think that's the work that needs to be done. And we were fortunate enough last year that in addition to capital outlay funding, we were also provided as legislators what we call junior money that we could have used to spend for recurring and non-recurring. I chose to use my money to be seed money for the Outdoor Equity Fund. And in addition to that, and Angel can speak to this as well, is the funding that we've been able to receive from private funders, from folks like Turner, REI, and others who have committed, even before the division was even created, because they saw value in what the outdoor equity could do for our country.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Voice of the Public. We're talking about outdoor recreation in New Mexico and the new equity fund that is designed to get young people outdoors. The number to call to ask a question is 575-646-2212. That is 575-646-2212. Patrick, as executive director of the Oregon, Friends of the Oregon Mountains, Desert Peaks, how do you see this fund really playing a role in the mission that your organization does?
I mean, it's game-changing, to be honest with you, right? To have a source of money that is specifically dedicated to something that is so close to the mission and our values as an organization, right, is getting young kids outside. Every time we do these trips, I always ask, how many times have first time out here for you, any of you kids? And the majority is first time out there, right? So we are really the folks that are really introducing the next generation of public lands, right? And I think that's incredible. Like, if we're going to talk about conserving places, protecting places, right, it's that generation that needs to do it, and they need to know about why these places are special. And I love the idea of just getting kids out there and roam, right? Free space. We teach them about some of the native plants and things of that sort, right? But I think there's just so much value in just getting out there and exploring and sort of testing your limits, right? Maybe it's a little mountain top that you get to climb on top of, right? But that's a memory, right? That's a story, and they're going to be telling that story for a long time. And the Outdoor Equity Fund is directly, its purpose is to help fund that kind of work. And that's not a priority for lots of foundations and funders, right, is doing that kind of work. But that's the really important work that I think needs to be done, specifically here in southern New Mexico. And I love the vision and the idea, but this is like a southern New Mexico thing, right? We're connecting our community to public lands, and this fund helps bridge that gap. You know, transportation costs, all those things cost money for our organization. So it's helpful.
Angel, yes, as board president of Nuestra Tierra, I'd like to hear a little bit about why you feel an organization like yours is really needed at this time in our state.
Yeah, of course. Thank you, Anthony. And first, thank you for making the time for us, Patricio, Patrick. You know, Nuestra Tierra has been partnering with Friends of the Oregon Mountain Desert Peak since the very beginning, since our inception, to really provide meaningful recreational experiences for kiddos, you know, and not just getting outside, but really reminding us of where we came from and really helping us set a trajectory of identifying where we can go, right? And Angelica, thank you so much for walking the walk or riding the ride. Right. To representatives like her, that's really where the fire starts, and we're excited to continue pushing and supporting her.
I was able to attend one of the functions that your organization was able to help sponsor a couple years ago, taking area high school students out to the dam in Radium Springs to go fishing on the Rio. And I was really taken back by how many young people I encountered who shared with me that this was their very first time going fishing, and they live right in our area where we have a Rio going through for, totally, you know, a few months of the year.
Nuestra Rio Bravo, man. No, you know, and unfortunately, that's a story that's far too common, I think, like Patrick was saying. It's a question he likes to ask all the time. And, you know, the fact is that the Outdoor Equity Fund really works to prioritize indigenous, rural, and communities of color, because those are the folks who have been lacking from the story. And not because they're not there, but just they don't see themselves represented in these spaces. And so we're very excited about the Outdoor Equity Fund and all the opportunity and potential she has for us.
You're listening to Voice of the Public. We are talking about outdoor recreation in New Mexico. The number to call to ask a question about outdoor recreation or the Equity Fund is 646-2212. You can also like our Facebook page and follow the live feed there to engage us and ask a question and join in the conversation. Right now, we are going to Arturo, who has a question about the equity fund and also skate parks. Hi, Arturo. Did you have a question?
Yes, I wanted to know if, you know, getting the youth and the folks out to outdoors, I mean, the skateboard parks in Las Cruces, there's a movement to build a new skate park. We got skate parks in our rural communities like in Chaparral and Mesquite, and I just wanted to know if this equity fund would be something that our skateboarding community can also tap into.
Okay, I'd like to go to Angelico Rubio on this question. I know you've been involved with that on social media as recently and coordinating events with us.
Yeah, and I want to thank Arturo for that question twice in 24 hours to be able to share the space with him. Yes, the skating coalition reached out to Councilman Gabe Vasquez a few months ago, really to think about what skateboarding and that movement could look like if the city of Las Cruces could actually do some prioritizing. And I got wind of it because I spend so much time downtown at the Main Street Vintage, where a lot of the skateboarders do come together, especially ever since some of the spaces that they've collectively been a part of have sort of shut down. And so over the course of the last 4 or 5 months, they've been organizing heavily, really reaching out to city council, showing up to city council meetings, pretty much making some demands about how the city should be investing more in a new skate park, but also putting some investments in the one that already exists on Hadley. And so in working with Councilman Vasquez, we were able to help the coalition navigate the whole city council process. They were able to get on the CPI list, which means that when I go up to Santa Fe next month or next week, that's going to be a priority. They're on the priority list. So, and I think what the coalition has done has been fantastic because there's neighborhoods and organizations that don't know how to navigate the capital outlay process. And within 4 or 5 months, they've been able to really build something really powerful in the sense that we're already starting to think through with them and being thought partners with them on if we're able to get them this capital outlay so that the skate park can happen. How do we, what happens after that?
So are there any important dates that people need to be aware of in regards to this whole process and proposal?
So in terms of capital outlay, I think people should, there are requests that they want to make for this upcoming session. I mean, it's at this point, it's really too late, unfortunately. But what I would recommend to folks, and I recommend it to them all the time, is as soon as we're back from the legislative session in February, for neighborhoods, communities to start really thinking about what are some of the biggest needs in their communities, particularly around infrastructure and brick and mortar type of stuff, so that when the upcoming session next year in 21, if we're expected to have as much revenues as we did this year, or at least having some revenue, that they can be, they can have their own vision for their own community to have some infrastructure funding.
Is there any way that folks can follow along this process? Is there a social media handle or anything?
I also wanted to know, like, you know, the organizations, I mean, they're all informal. They're not, you know, C3s or anything like that, but they're informal community skateboard groups like, you know, Barricade, Team Puro Chile, 138, Queen Bee's, the businesses. Mm-hmm. You know, when you guys come together, can you, you know, make sure that we're at the table to partake? I mean, it's a skate park coalition that's really moving this, and it's a bunch of different groups. But if this equity fund has any opportunity to help us also, so we can maybe do matching funds with private funding, capital outlay, and then with that equity fund, you know, we would really like to be involved with that.
And yeah, absolutely. There's a ton of opportunities for that. And I think one of the things that people traditionally, when we talk about outdoors and outdoor recreation, they think of the much more traditional sense of what it means for the outdoors. But I think over the course of the last 6 months, I've learned so much, even from the skateboarding community, that it's not even just recreation for them. Like for many, this has been a getaway for mental health issues. Like people, they retreat to this community of, in the same way that the bike for me is my therapy, the skateboarding is for them.
Yeah, I was really taken back by how some of the other communities in our area have kind of gathered around the skate parks, and it's had its own community. I was just thinking of Chaparral and how the skate community there kind of helped lead an effort to really keep that park alive out mm-hmm. there at the Dolores Wright Community Center Park. Arturo, I'd like to hear a little bit more about from you. Why do you think this is such an essential thing for our community here?
Well, because I'm a skateboarder myself. It's my passion. I've got a skateboard team where I work with these youth, and just like what you guys are saying, that it is a way for kids who don't need a coach. And they don't need to be part of anything. They just need a skateboard and a safe place, some concrete, a sidewalk, a ramp. You know, these guys listen to music while they skate. You know, they may be having issues, you know, at home or at work or with their and partners. But it's mm-hmm. a place for them and an outlet. And I believe that it is a positive outlet. And for many years, when I was growing up, we didn't have these spaces. And it was looked at as a crime. You know, skateboarding is not a crime. And I really believe that it's a positive thing, not just for our kids, but even for our community. Skateboarding is now going to be in the Olympics.
Yeah.
You know, it would be great to build a facility here in Las Cruces that may be able to host a contest and give these kids an opportunity to maybe to springboard into another contest or even make it to the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
So the opportunities with skateboarding is tremendous. And then I think the economic development, the opportunity to bring in, these guys spend money here,
yeah.
go to our restaurants, they travel for contests, they stay at our hotels. So I think there's a whole list of reasons, good reasons, that we should be behind the skateboarding community. And then these parks are not just for the skateboards. You see guys on bicycles, mm-hmm. you see them on their little scooters, you see them on rollerblades. So it really benefits a bunch of other kids that are getting outdoors and that are, you know, trying to just, you know, practice their craft and yeah. do their art.
Well, I want to thank you so much for the call, Arturo, and your input. And,
Anthony.
Did you wanted to add something on that?
Just real quick, Arturo, thank you so much for calling in. And just to remind folks that different people experience the outdoors in different ways, right? And that's what the intention of the Outdoor Equity Fund was always about, was to make sure that urban, rural, and communities of color, however they do it, however they see themselves outside, like, this is a mechanism to help empower them and make that happen. And so thank you, Arturo, for reminding us that there's all sorts of cool ways to play outside.
And Angelica, you said that there was a social media handle that folks could follow, or was there something like
that?
Yeah,
I was trying to look for it, but the Skater Coalition just started a Facebook page, but they've been very, very active on Instagram, and so I can share that on your Facebook page later once I find it. But they've been organizing. I know that they're organizing a lobbying day to go up the first week of the legislative session, mm-hmm. trying to get as many folks to go up to Santa Fe and to remind the legislators. So a couple weeks ago, they organized this big event downtown at the Main Street Mercado, and
that was a great event.
It was a huge event, and so I think it was a reminder to the legislators that were there that there's power in numbers, mm-hmm. number one, but that it's also for a really important issue that I think. That there's no limits in terms of income and everything. Like, it was such a diverse community of people that showed up to that, and it was just a really powerful showing of seeing people from all ages, from young to old, being a part of this community of skateboarders.
We're on Voice of the Public right now here on KRWG Public Media. You can call in with a question about outdoor recreation and the Equity Fund. The number to call is 646-2212. That's 575-646-2212. Do you have a question about the outdoors? Are you active outdoors? What are some things you would like to see in our area in regards to the outdoors and recreation in New Mexico? We want to hear from you. Once again, the number is 646-2212. Now, Arturo brought up something that I think is really interesting, and that is the economic impact that folks coming to our area to experience outdoor activities. I was looking online, and I came across some information from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, from the Bureau of Economic Analysis, that stated from 2012 to 2017, The New Mexico's outdoor recreation economy generated 2.5% of the state's GDP. When you think about that, Patrick, I know you're involved with many folks who are experiencing the outdoors here in our region, who travel through, who do things like that. You host an event every fall to get people connected to businesses and the outdoors. What have you seen in regards to economic growth in our region in regards to public lands?
You know, I always see that figure, and I always...
What is that figure, Pat? Isn't it like $9 billion?
Yes. I had to double-check that number a couple times. $9.9 billion in economic activity is developed from our outdoor recreation economy. And it's a hard number to sort of get your head around at times, right? Mm-hmm. And what I think about here, I think about groups like Oregon Mountain Outfitters that are really capitalizing on our public lands. I think about folks like Southwest Expeditions that are leading trips through public lands. And I think we are really well positioned here with our national monument. BLM has a multi-use mandate, right, which means it's both extractive and recreational activities, right? And our monument really offers a ton of opportunities to get out and have fun. I think, like Angel said, right, like if birding's your thing, birding's your thing. If walking slowly through a trail is your thing, then walking slowly through a trail is your thing. Rock climbing, mountain biking. All of these things, there's just so many opportunities, and it really brings a lot of people here. Folks here at this table really know how special Southern New Mexico is, Las Cruces is, and it's really a chance to really show off our area. It's always great to take visitors out. The other day, we took some folks out through Baylor Canyon Pass.
Mm-hmm.
Just the other day.
Yeah, just the other day. Beautiful hike. It's a bit of a climb. I don't know if I'm going to do it again, like, super soon, but it's fun, and it's beautiful, and it's great, and it's just and it's so close, right? You know, people come, we have wilderness in our backyards. We have these public lands in our backyard, and we're so fortunate to have it in such close proximity to our community that I think it's really important that we take advantage of that.
One of the things with the Equity Fund that I kind of like to talk about is how you really feel that it can address the issue of inclusion in our state. Angelica, how do you see that fund really playing a role to getting folks outside who may have grown up in Las Cruces and never really even experienced the outdoors?
I mean, I think that's one of the biggest questions is that part of our, I mean, the idea of the Outdoor Equity Fund came about because the outdoors actually directly impacted folks like myself and others who grew up outside, who didn't have a ton of money, who go out hiking using their Chuck Taylors or who ride their bikes. Like, I mean, my first brand new bike, I just got it last year because I was going to take this 300-mile ride, but it's expensive to be outside, and it's also very, very exclusive to be outside. That's how it's been characterized for a really long time. And if we're talking about like the economic impact, I think part of the debate last year during the creation of the Division of Outdoor Rec was whether or not it should sit in tourism or in economic development. And for me, I felt really strongly about it being in economic development because when we are a state that's heavily reliant on oil and gas, when it's a state that's heavily reliant on extractive industries, and yet we live in the most beautiful place in the entire planet, in my opinion. And the fact that we are essentially destroying our land when we could be connecting to it in ways that we have, and rural communities could greatly benefit from this diversification of our economy through outdoor recreation. Because, I mean, even if there was an article that I was reading the other day about how communities have been changed through even just gravel trails where people can ride their bikes, because riding your bike isn't just in your community, but there's people that ride them all over the state, like myself, who stops at like an Allsup's for a bean burrito or like whatever.
You don't get a chimichanga?
Yeah, no, I don't get chimichanga. But these are the things that it's along the way that New Mexico can. It's not just about one community, but it's like places like Grants and other places mm-hmm. where you have like. There was a story that Outside Magazine published, I think, about a year ago, where There's these young Navajo kids who are like these bad. Who have this like this amazing like biking community, and it's pretty rad. Like some of the stories that we're seeing from places all around the state that have just sort of kind of percolated because of this conversation around diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Well, let's talk about the barriers, though. Angel, what are some of the barriers that you feel are out there right now that are keeping people from perhaps experiencing the outdoors in our area?
Absolutely. So there are a ton, but I'm going to talk about like my personal one, right? I'm new to the outdoors relatively. I've only been outside for just over a decade. And that's because I had one car in my family, right? Mm-hmm. And when one parent was at work, the other was home. And then when one would get home, the other would go to work, and they usually worked outside. And so the last thing they wanted to do on the weekends was take me for a hike, right? In the middle of the summer, but it was when I became a parent myself that I realized that it's also really cheap to take all three of my kiddos, who were pure New Mexican through and through, outside, right, to create some memories and create some experiences. And I think one of the biggest barriers is that all three of us are trying to take on in our own ways is just share that adventure, that you too can drive 5 minutes and spend one heck of an afternoon with your family. And so I think just getting the word out right now is big. And I know Patrick and Angelica, through her ride and his trips, work on this type of stuff every day in Nuestra Tierra. Day after day, we think about new creative ways of how we allow our Hispano communities to see themselves out there.
Well, I'm still a little curious though about how the outdoors are marketed.
Yeah.
I want to give the number real quick so folks can call in and join the conversation. If you have a question about outdoor recreation in New Mexico or the new equity fund, or just a question about our public lands and things you may be curious about, or any of the organizations that we have in studio. We have Patrick Nolan. He is executive director of the Friends of the Oregon Mountains Desert Peaks, and also Angel Pena, board president of Nuestra Tierra. If you have a question for them, please give us a call at 646-2212. That's 646-2212, or join in the conversation on our Facebook page, which we will go to in just a bit. In regards to the outdoor industry and how outdoors are marketed, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think that there are some issues there in how they are connecting to people, or does it seem like they're just geared toward a specific demographic?
Yes. So
we can say it.
Yeah.
No, and I'm happy to say it. I actually attended the Outdoor Retailer in Colorado this past year, and I was overwhelmed at the amount of consumerism that exists, number one, in the industry, and this expectation that you have to drop hundreds of dollars for equipment.
Thousands.
Just to be able to spend time outside. And I think this is what when I talk about exclusivity, this is the thing that I'm talking about, that you have to pay $200, $300 for a tent, for my bike, that I have to spend so much money to ride a bike. Like, I think this is what we mean when we talk about equity and inclusion and diversity, in that you don't need to be spending that much money, and nobody should have to be making that much profit just to endorse access to the outdoors. And I think when we're talking about communities of color and low resourced communities, that I can jump on my bike from my house, get on a gravel on a ditch bank, and be in our public lands within 30-40 minutes. Mm-hmm. I think people don't know that, and it's not because they don't want to. It's more of the fact that they've not been exposed to it, because, in my opinion, the industry has essentially hijacked the outdoors from our people, and it's really our responsibility, me especially, to sort of reclaim that for our communities and say, no, I mean, you can drop all that money if you want, but it really isn't that expensive to enjoy your public lands.
And you know, in Nuestra Tierra, we came out recently in a High Country News article, just bringing attention to the fact, like, where's the nearest Patagonia store to Las Cruces, right? Where's the nearest REI store? We have to travel 2.5 hours, even if we can afford to play that game of consumerism, right? And in that article, I think we explore How we don't see ourselves represented in those magazines, right? You don't see people of color on the front pages wearing all that cool equipment. It's very tailored to a specific community. And so, yeah, we're excited to support our leaders like Angelica here to change that.
You know, and I think it's whenever I'm out there on the trails, right, and there's, right, this image of the outdoor person, right? For those of you not watching, they look a lot like me, like a white guy with a Patagonia vest, Patagonia hat, right? But when I'm out there on the trail here enjoying our public lands, I see users that really reflect our community, right? People that are born here, treasure these places, and know these places, and look like the community that lives here. And I think it's just such a beautiful thing. It always makes me happy to see people that don't fit into that space, right? And we're really striving to sort of lift up those other voices too as well, to talk about public lands and why we need to defend them and why we need to advocate for them, why we need to protect them. And I think it's important those voices don't look like me. It's important those voices look like the people that are in this community.
You're listening to Voice of the Public here on KRWG Public Media. We're discussing outdoor recreation in New Mexico and the new Outdoor Equity Fund that is designed to get more young people outdoors. The number to call to ask a question is 646-2212. That's 646-2212. Or you can like our Facebook page and join in the conversation on our live Facebook feed where Fred Martino is anchoring. Fred, good afternoon. Now, we have a couple of questions on Facebook. Can you share those with us?
We sure do. You know, there is a reduced cost for junior fishing licenses and hunting licenses for 12 to 17-year-olds. But the question for Angelica, how about offering free fishing and hunting licenses for New Mexico residents that are under 18 years old?
I love it.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. And I think that it's something that many of us have been thinking about. I mean, even just with the outdoor recreation, some of the things that we've been talking about is it's so many people from out of state come in to give tours of our own state, our own rivers, and our own land. And yet there are people within, like, northern New Mexico, for example, native indigenous communities who not only can share with you the stories of that land specifically, but the birds and the wildlife that exist in those areas. And yet they get denied half the time from these jobs employment opportunity. And so I think the way that we're thinking about it is, yes, it is providing these free activities for our young people, because that's the intention of the Equity Fund for sure, and other opportunities. But, like, also, how are we thinking about a division of outdoor recreation that is unlike anything that's been created in the country, and that we're sort of a driving force in this vision of expanding that to a lot of different opportunities.
All right, Angelica, I know you addressed this to some extent earlier in the program, but I want to read this question from Facebook. Ryan asks, I work for City Recreation and Youth Programs. You mentioned that it's sometimes expensive to connect to the outdoors in certain ways because of the equipment that's involved, whether that be bikes or gear, rafts for the river, etc. How will the fund help programs and children access gear to take part in various outdoor programs?
Yeah, so the Outdoor Equity Fund is specifically to support organizations already providing these outdoor services to young people. So, for example, organizations like Friends of the Oregon Mountains and others who already take young people outside, once they apply for this grant, and we're hoping that these grants will be as diverse as possible so that it's split evenly between urban and rural communities across the state, so that these, whether it's $2,000, $3,000, $5,000, whatever the advisory board decides on, and I know some of the pilot programming is going to begin in February, is that these organizations will be able to use that funding specifically for, like, fishing rods and maybe even just like a bus to take them to wherever they need to go. these some of the things that foundations are unable to justify any type of spending, the Outdoor Equity Fund would allow for that.
Angelica, you've addressed this. I mean, as someone, myself included, who's applied for grant funding, a lot of times capital expenses are not included.
Exactly.
You can pay for travel, you can pay for other things, maybe even licenses like a fishing license to go fishing, but you can't necessarily pay for a fishing rod. And having that opportunity, what's really neat about that is, of course, that makes the funding more sustainable, because they're not something that will just be used once.
Correct. And I think that's why it's so exciting. And my hope is that what we've been able to do here in New Mexico so far, and I think this is where I was talking about earlier, where the work has begun, is it's not just about passing the bill, but it's actually like laying out the foundation and how this is going to be sustainable. Because my vision is that this becomes national, that I'm going to pitch this to Senator Heinrich, that maybe Senator Heinrich can maybe propose this at a national level, so that it's not just an equity fund that exists within our own state, but what if the rest of the country actually had access to an equity fund that organizations around the country could benefit from as well.
All right. Thanks, Fred. We'll go back to you towards the end of the program. You are listening to Voice of the Public. The number to call is 646-2212. We're talking about outdoor recreation in New Mexico and also the Equity Fund. Angelica, just to follow up on that, can you share a little bit more about where that process is right now? Because, I mean, how do folks and taxpayers in the state really pay attention to the fund to make sure that money and funding is getting dispensed in an equal way to communities that really need that fund?
Yeah, that's a really important question, because certainly as somebody who still considers herself a very novice legislator, I've been able to witness a lot of the mechanics of how do you get a bill passed, but now how do you implement legislation. And part of the process over the course of the last year, especially with the transition within from one governor to the next, is the just really getting people in place. So with the Outdoor Equity Fund, when we drafted up the bill, the Division of Outdoor Rec was going to live in the Economic Development Department, but the Outdoor Equity Fund now lives in a separate department. And so the new Director of Outdoor Recreation doesn't actually have direct impact on that. So it's really the Energy and Natural Resources Department that oversees that under the Youth Conservation Corps. And one of the biggest learnings that I've had over the course of the last year is, and this can go on to another conversation about modernizing our legislature, is the amount of time that we didn't have to really think through like the mechanisms of the Outdoor Equity Fund and how that would be placed. Fortunately, there's a new director for the Youth Conservation Corps. There's an advisory board that has already been appointed. Fortunately, the governor did some really great appointments in terms of the director of Outdoor Rec as well as the advisory council, which means that there's a lot of the people who were a part of the visioning around both of those ideas that my hope is that in February, when the pilot project starts to take shape and we start distributing funding, that it'll be the first phase of where we can begin to evaluate how things are moving along. I'm excited about the fact that much of what I envision, much of what the folks who were a part of this whole process envisioned, has been really the foundation of what folks in the Youth Conservation Corps and the Division of Outdoor Rec are working from. Like, there's a template out there that they're working from, and so that I think gives me a lot of comfort knowing that at least we're heading in the right direction.
The number to call is 646-2212. The number once again, 646-2212. And we have a question about equity fund being used to clean up projects. Fred, are you there?
I am.
All right. Now, what's your question?
My question is if any of those funds are going to be used to clean up the areas that we want to attract people to, children or adults, our own local kids or out-of-staters. It doesn't matter. Everywhere I go, I see trash. everywhere.
So the Outdoor Equity Fund is specifically to get young people outside to enjoy their public lands and the outdoors. I know that programs like the Youth Conservation Corps exist to support efforts for young people to maybe work the land and things like that. But the Outdoor Equity Fund is specifically for outdoors and outdoor recreation.
Patrick, I'd hate to throw Patrick, do you want to?
So we are a part of the No Dumping Partnership that we do with Doña Ana County, City of Las Cruces. And so that organization essentially is to clean up trash. And there's an app, No Toss app, that you should download. You should also let us know where these places are that you're seeing these things, because we should get those cleaned up.
Fred, is there any place in particular you're talking about?
Yeah, up above the Mesilla Dam.
Okay.
Yeah, that one's come up a few times. Yes. Yes, thank you. I appreciate that. We will get right on that.
All right, Fred, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. The number to call to ask a question about outdoor recreation in our state or the new equity fund is 646-2212. That's 646-2212. In studio, we have Democratic State Representative Angelico Rubio, Patrick Nolan, Executive Director of Friends of the Oregon Mountains Desert Peaks, and Angel Pena, Board President of the Nuestra Tierra Conservation Project. Now, another issue that I would like to talk about is really our agencies that deal with the public lands in our region. We have the national parks, we have BLM. Now, one of the issues that I notice a lot of people have been pushing for, and a lot of the work that you've been doing, is to get the next generation of public land stewards out and about in our public lands. To become the next stewards or work for the national park systems. Are you, any of your organizations or any of you working with some of these agencies to increase young people's opportunities to get involved with these agencies?
We have a key partnership with the Bureau of Land Management, and we coordinate lots of our activities with them. And I know there's groups like Hispanic Access that put interns into some positions with national parks to sort of learn the roots or learn the ropes rather. And I think it's important to have we do a summer camp actually with fourth grade girls every summer. And at this summer camp, they're connected with young women that are in the conservation field. Either they work for the Friends or they work for the BLM or they work for other agencies. And here at this camp, these young women are able to connect with other women that are doing conservation work and working with federal agencies. And I think that's one of my favorite things that we do. And I think it's really good to sort of put those folks together, sort of set that path and sort of show, you know, the possibilities that that exist working in the conservation field.
Now, I know that there's been other kind of campaigns like Every Kid in the Park and different opportunities to get folks in the outdoors. Is there anything that some other states or perhaps agencies are trying out nationwide that could really make an impact in our area that we're not doing in this region right now that you all know about?
I think it's all about partnerships, right? The Nuestra Tierra Conservation Project, we hold a co-chair seat in the Next 100 Coalition, which is a national coalition of a bunch of folks. We actually secured a presidential memorandum the day before President Obama left office, really pointing the Department of the Interior to diversify their hiring practices, right? And so while we're partnering on the ground, like folks with Friends of the Oregon Mountains, or while we're getting juvenile correction kiddos out to the Gila Forest or Boys and Girls Club up to the Oregon Mountain Desert Peaks, we're also firing on that national policy level. Because it's all about partnerships. It's all about leveraging the work on the ground and making sure that we're having real impact, long-term impact in Washington, D.C.
Angel, does the diversity in our experiences really impact how we view our public lands or the outdoors?
Absolutely. I mean,
how so?
If you come with me, we're going to have a discada. Right, it's guaranteed. We're gonna have some music. We're gonna have the disco. And we're gonna have 20 people hanging out. Right, where if I was to go out with another hiking group here in town, you know, we'd take it slow and maybe we'd look at the flowers. And that really dictates, I think, when these kiddos see It's not just about that one Lone Ranger with all the cool equipment going in to like re-cleanse him or herself when they see that, oh, this can be a place for families. This can be the only place I can hold my whole family. I think it really dictates how we grow up and how we lean into these strong issues.
One of the things that really took me back a little bit when I was able to tag along with the fishing trip about nearly 2 years ago with your organization was the history lesson that I got along the way from not only folks within your organization, but the state park ranger that was stationed there in Radium Springs, who really gave an in-depth history lesson that of our area that you might not get in the classroom.
Absolutely. I mean, that was a fun trip. And what is a critical part of every trip we take is to remind folks that this is our history, man. This is tradiciones right here. This is nuestra tierra. And this is how we've always shown up in these places. And it's not sad, but maybe it makes me happy to learn that we're always able to fill in those blanks that maybe they don't get in the schools.
You're listening to Voice of the Public on KRWG Public Media. We are talking about outdoor recreation in New Mexico. The number to call to ask a question or join in the conversation is 646-2212. That's 646-2212. Or you can join in the conversation on our Facebook page. We have the live feed going there. Fred Martino is anchoring our Facebook page, so please join in the conversation. What do you all see as our biggest challenges facing outdoor recreation in our state right now in 2020?
Oh man, I've got 12, but you guys go first.
I think for me, the biggest challenge right now, I think, is really how do we move outdoor recreation here in New Mexico in a direction that is very much rooted in our communities. I mean, if outdoor recreation can be successful at a national scale, I think New Mexico could be leading in terms of how we address it in issues around diversity and inclusion and equity. Because, I mean, we look at the complexities of our history, we look at the complexities of our communities and this constant urban-rural divide that we keep hearing about. I think the challenge is if we don't do this right, I think it could be disastrous. And so my hope is that we do it right. We do it where it's rooted with people who are directly impacted by the issues around public lands and our Native and Indigenous communities, that they are very much well represented in these spaces, and making sure that they're leading the way in these conversations around how outdoor equity and how outdoor rec moves forward in the state of New Mexico.
All right, Patrick, I want to go to you. I know Angelica got a list over there, so I want to go with you.
You know, I think Angelica really hit on the point, right? I think when we created this office, right, it was also coupled with this Outdoor Equity Fund, right? So we're really starting off on the right path, right? We want to develop economically. We want to create jobs. We want to create a reason for folks to stay here and work here and raise families here. But we also want to balance that with the needs of the land. And so there's an education piece to that, right? So when you're out there, these are the right things to do. This is where you should go and where you should not go, right? And that's where the Outdoor Equity Fund will help get those next generations out that know these lessons and then can impart them onto the other generations, right? I mean, there's a reason we do all these things, right? It makes sense to develop those future leaders because they're going to be the ones that are going to inherit this place after we're all dead and gone.
Angel?
Yes, sir. Quickly, if you know me, you've heard me say this a couple times. A vision without resources is little more than a hallucination. And I think the Outdoor Equity Fund, thank you to representatives like Angelica, really built a strong foundation. But now Nuestra Tierra is committed to making sure that there's some public-private funding in there, especially in a part of the country and a part of the state where we're seeing record profits from oil and gas. I'd love to really think creatively of how indigenous, rural, and communities of color are not an afterthought, but really the tip of the spear on this one. We deserve it. We need it. And like Angelica was saying, New Mexico, not only in this Trump administration have we held back some bad things from happening, but we've gotten some 240,000 acres of wilderness. We've got a new national park. We are the leaders, and it behooves us to lead by example on this one.
All right, we're going to go now to our social media desk where Fred Martino has a question from our website. Fred, there's a question in regards to the near completion of improvements on the multi-use path along Soledad Canyon Road.
That's right. State and federal funds paid for the $7 million project that's almost done. The full story is at krwg.org. And the question is, how much work needs to be done to encourage and train local governments to apply for state, federal, and private money to support projects like that?
Now, Angelica, I know you brought this up a little bit from just Las Cruces. Can you address this?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that makes New Mexico very different from the rest of the country is that we have a capital outlay process. And so it's a very complicated and messy situation in terms of how it all occurs. But it really, the work to be able to request a lot of this funding, particularly for projects like that, require months in advance to be able to have legislators involved in the entire process. And so I know that, like, if we use the skate park, for example, as an example, they reached out to the city councilor at a very early stage this last year. And so I think the same can be said with places like Soledad Canyon, where they do need, where they are talking about infrastructure and things like that. Senator Bill Soles, I know, has done a lot of work. That's his district. He's done a lot of work to try to get a lot of funding in that direction to help improve the infrastructure. And so the same can be said with other parts of the city, other parts of the county, other parts of the state, that if communities are organized and are preparing ahead of time before a legislative session, reaching out to their legislators, reaching out to their city council, to their county commission, to make sure that their projects are up there, that's important.
Okay, now we are going to go to our last caller now, who is George, and he has a question regarding benefits for kids being outdoors. Hello, George. Thanks for joining us on Voice of the Public.
Hi. I don't know if you covered this earlier before I tuned in, but have you discussed why it is essential for children to be exposed to nature? There's been research done indicating that direct exposure to nature is essential for healthy childhood development and for the physical and emotional health of children and adults, too. Specifically, there was a book published a while ago called The Last Child in the Woods. I don't know if you're familiar with it. Mm-hmm.
The Last Child in the Woods.
The title is Saving Our Children from Nature Deficit Disorder.
Yes, a good friend of mine, Ms. Pat Bull, shared the book with me, actually. And, you know, I'll just quickly, I'm a father of three, a proud father of two, or one young woman and one little girl and one little boy. And my young woman, she's 11, and being able to be outside, I have just seen the growth and confidence in her, and now she's in middle school, and I'm just so excited about what she's becoming. And I know that outdoors, playing outside, making memories with her family and friends have been a critical part of our relationship and of her becoming an amazing person.
Our daughters actually met out on a hike
on
public lands.
That's correct.
And now they'll be friends forever.
They claim to be best friends, in fact.
So, yeah. Best friends.
Yeah. Well, I want to touch on that a little bit. I mean, I know you have all worked with youth in the area. We only have about a minute and a half left in the program. But, Patrick, I know you've done a lot of work with an area high school group as well from Las Cruces High that's been able to get out and explore the outdoors. This is the Off-Leash Bulldogs.
Off-Leash Bulldogs. I love this group of kids. I love this program. So we do about a weekly or a monthly trip with them. It can be anywhere from a camping trip to a hike to mountain biking. Right now, they're actually trying to raise money to go to an ice festival in southern Colorado.
Wow.
And again, it's just like a bunch of kids that just want to get outside. We have a great teacher at Las Cruces High that really helps coordinate that and plan all those activities. These kids have also had the chance to float down the river with Representative Ben Ray Lujan, right? They spent 2 hours floating down the river with the a high-ranking member of Congress. I don't know where he falls in the scale.
Pretty high. Like
pretty
fifth
high.
Or fourth, yeah.
He's high up there, right? But that's a unique opportunity, right? And that's because of the organization and the club.
All right. Now, unfortunately, we are out of time. I want to thank you all three for being here. Democratic State Representative Angelica Rubio, Patrick Nolan, Executive Director of Friends of the Oregon Mountains, Desert Peaks, and also Angel Peña, Board President of the Nuestra Tierra Conservation Project. Fred Martino anchored our social media desk. Jake Lockwood engineered the program, as well as Mark Johnson. This is KRWG Las Cruces and KRXG Silver City.